I stand among you as one who has come together this morning in Advent to take home some of the glories of the peace of God, which St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, describes as passing all understanding. If I had the time and the urging, I would like to go down in your midst and ask you to tell us those times in your life when you have found peace. When at last peace entered your life, whether you looked for it or it came upon you unexpectedly. I think every answer would be different. You might get an answer like, I found peace when my neighbors, who had four sons who all had motorcycles, decided to move to Vancouver. A history buff might say, I recognized the peace that must have been there after the end of the Hundred Years' War, which prompted that German pastor to write that wonderful hymn, Nun danket alles Gott, Now thank we all our God. I remember a former incumbent of the parish of Cumbermere, the Reverend Stephen Kenward, telling me about how he discovered peace. He later went on to become Archdeacon of Pembroke. Some of you may remember Stephen Kenward. But the rectory in Cumbermere was right along the Madawaska River. And he used to suffer in the city a lot of allergies. You know, it made him sneeze and cough and everything. But when he came to Cumbermere, it stopped. And what he used to do, he had a small boat. He'd row this out to where Stevens Creek comes into the Madawaska River. And he put the oars down. He knew what the gospel for the Sunday was. He closed his eyes, and he would drift down the Madawaska. He would hear the birds singing. He would hear the odd fish jumping out of the water. They don't anymore. But he would hear this, and the sunshine on him. And by the time the boat drifted down across from the rectory, he had a sermon ready for Sunday, and he found this was peace. That was his story. The New Testament is abound with stories of peace, as is the Old Testament. What really comes to my memory is that scenario where the disciples, in disarray, have gathered in that room following the crucifixion of their Lord, and they don't know what to do. Some are saying, you know, maybe we should have listened to Judas Iscariot after all. Where is this all going? And then, in the midst of their problem, he appears. And the wounds are still visible from the crucifixion. And does he say, bring me a glass of water? No. Does he say, when does this meeting end? No. Twice he will say, peace be with you. That's what he has to offer first of all. Let's look at that word peace in Hebrew, shalom. It's become a popular phrase in our time. It came very apparent with evangelical movements in our church and all churches not that long ago. Shalom. It's Hebrew, yes. Its root is shalem, which actually means completeness, finish, That's what actually means. Something which has finally come together. All the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. That is shalom. And it will go on to mean health. It will go on to mean a situation which is free from unrest. And therefore, if you are free from unrest, you have peace. And so this is what he will say to them. They will know the meaning of the word shalom, for sometimes we don't. And they'll say to themselves, our Lord is with us. And he says, it is complete. It is complete. We should have peace, and peace will come upon them. It's a wonderful understanding of the word. It's something like that French that we all speak, whether we are bilingual or not. Comment ça va? And you all answer?
Ça va bien.
Ça va bien, right. How does it go? It goes well. Or in German, wie geht es Ihnen? Kirk and Worten bitte. Wie geht es Ihnen? Good, yeah, it's going well. And you'll find this in Spanish, other languages. How is it going? And the recipient will say back again, how is it going? And if it's going well, this is the gateway to good speech, good conversation, free of jealousy, free of dominance, free of lies. It is healthy togetherness. If we place our conversations on these introductions, wie geht es Ihnen? Comment ça va? Shalom. And this shalom takes such a significant role in the ministry of Jesus. At the same time, there is another peace which is recognized by the Roman Empire and by historians, which was the Pax Romana, a period of history that lasted around 200 years from the reign of Octavian, who had become Augustus Caesar, right through to Marcus Aurelius, from about 21 BC to 180 AD. That was a significant period in Roman history where there was great going forward in many ways. The construction of amphitheaters, aqueducts, walls, streets, you name it. It's not that there were no times of turmoil. There certainly were. One, the destruction of Jerusalem, for one. But no major conflicts. I'm not sure how you separate minor from major, but no really major conflicts. The Pax Romana. Augustus Caesar would be on the throne for, 41 years. He was a nephew of Julius Caesar. And in that period, you had the Pax Romana. But at the same time, you also had the shalom of God the Father. And so this was a rivalry. Augustus Caesar was the one who finally took on the name Dominus et Deus, Lord and God. But Thomas, when he saw our Lord in the upper room with the wounds, would finally say, my Lord and my God. So you have these two rivalries going on simultaneously. Things would work out. What happened to the Roman Empire? It is gone. What has happened to the shalom of God? It is much, very much with us. And so we seek out this peace of God, this shalom, which means that We are putting things together. We are finishing things. I know we're always thinking, what are we going to do next? But our faith is also something which brings union, which brings togetherness, which begins to say, you know, we see completion, and there is health in all of this. And there certainly is. And so, in this period of Advent, amongst other things, we sort of brush up on shalom. There are things to tidy up around the house. There are things to tidy up around our religious life as well, to make it complete, not bits and pieces of our faith, but to put it together. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.